Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast.
Did you guys see the tweets yesterday? Oh my gosh, you guys, they got a new graphic artist or something. I don't know if you guys see this tweet yesterday. God bless America. See, there's certain times when I hate the internet, which is about 99% of the time. I hate social media. I hate the internet. I hate all of it. And then there are times when I'm like, you know what? The internet's a really good place. I think about this every single time I see a dog video or, you know, where I see something about bad architecture. I don't know. I just think that satisfies me. And I saw this graph that was, I'm here for the memes. Let's just be real. I saw this graph just yesterday evening. It's just too funny. The Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee put this out. And it's actually a really crappy graph. All they say it comes from a certain, some kind of whatever. They say U.S. regular all formulations gas price. And what they're trying to argue is how many dollars per gallon. Dollars per gallon is being saved. And it is so, it's so bad, guys. So do you remember when Biden was saying that, hey, you guys are saved 16% on your hot dogs for the Independence Day festivities, remember? 16 cents. Oh, sorry, what did I say, 15? Heaven forbid I shortchange you. 16 cents for your Independence Day food. Well, now, guys, according to this graph from the DCCC, you've saved a whole 2 cents on gas from November 22nd to November 29. You have saved 2 cents on gas. And then I think of that, we did it, Joe, call from Kamala Harris. When she found out they finally won, and she's like, Joe, we did it. Yay. Remember that whole, it was so great. Yeah, I know. So, 2 cents. And they decided that we're going to put it out like in a graph. And they inadvertently, what they ended up doing is they ended up admitting that, okay, well, Biden does actually control gas prices. So that means that this is all his fault. If he can save you money, then he can raise it too, right? So saith logic. We did it, Joe. Hashtag backpats. Yay. So great. And they got so gloriously ratioed. Thus, the ratio was superb. It was stunning. Sidebar. I hate it when people say that on comments. Like, there's like a picture of somebody and they're like, stunning. And it's clearly not. I'm just here for the comments and the memes today. 2 cents. And they rushed out a brag graphic to commemorate the occasion. So, 2 cents. Meanwhile, in California, they're getting murdered. I was murdered over gas prices. They had this news crew go out. and interview people. And people were like, I can't do this anymore. They were like all sad, filling up their gas tanks and all that. They're at the gas station filling up. And they were telling the press, we can't do this anymore. It's so bad. It's awful. And I don't know if that's exactly what the television station was trying to go for, but it was funny nonetheless. But they had said that it was just too high. It's too dang high. Listen to this. This is audio soundbite. This is NBC audio soundbite 6. Listen.
But for drivers, a big speed bump, the price of gas. Price is now at their highest level in 7 years.
I just topped off the tank today. We're almost at a double from where it was a year and a half ago.
When you add in the price of groceries, when you add in the price of housing and everything else that's hitting the wallet and the budget these days, it does add up and does make things difficult.
For some, it was reason enough to stay home.
Oh my gosh, it's ridiculous. It ruins a lot of plans, honestly.
Yeah, it ruins a lot of plans. And they're like, I can't take this anymore. It's why they're just like, I can't take it. And you drive everywhere. There's a reason why Missing Persons wrote Nobody Walks in L.A. Yeah. It's because nobody walks in L.A. Everybody always drives everywhere. Everywhere. So, this, it's not good. And then the jobs numbers still aren't good. So this was the speech that he made where that honestly, I swear to you, that was him. That was him. That was and he just sounds horrible. Bust out the party hats because we got a 2-cent drop. Where's our credit? High gas prices aren't our fault, but the 2 cents we saved you. Where is our credit? Give us the credit. It's like the cost of a 4th of July cookout in 2021 is down 16 cents from last year. 16 cents. Oh my gosh, what are we going to do with all these cents? Kane, you could take your 16 cents that Biden saved you over Independence Day and your 2 cents that they saved you off gas. You're living your best life, my friend.
My next, I guess the milestone is 2 thin dimes.
High five and all the angels over this one. Yeah. Just.
I love how the graph had 0.5 cent in there just so they could show 2 line drop.
Oh, man. I mean, that's a stretch. Someone had to do that. I mean, like someone to tell somebody to make that graph. Someone had to be like, okay, this is what we're going to do. We need you to literally show the cents by half so we can add more lines in there. But the memes, if you got this email prep last night, I never tell you to go read the comments. I never tell you that. Do yourself a favor this Friday, my friends. When you get that, if you signed up to get the email prep, the daily prep, Wednesday and Thursday prep. I have it linked in there. You'll see it. I need you to clicky click on that. And I need you to go and behold the glorious memes that have been bestowed upon us, because this is why the internet was really made. The meme makers out there, like, reported for duty. They did their jobs. It's truly glorious. I saved all of them. Did you see them all? They're amazing. 2 cents, guys. We're living our best lives. 2 cents. 2 whole cents. Now, yesterday, Alec Baldwin gave an interview to George Stephanopoulos, and what was one of the craziest things I think I've ever seen, ever. This year, Kel-Tec is celebrating 30 years of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company that began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. In 1999, Kel-Tec launched their brand on the scene by forever redefining the concealed carry handgun. And from that point on, Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms. Pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike, never copying firearms, always innovating new ones. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, the right to bear arms, and in the love we all have for our great country. They do things right. All Kel-Tec firearms are proudly made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. Find out more about Kel-Tec firearms by visiting KelTecWeapons.com for a deeper dive on all aspects of their innovative firearms. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about my friends at Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec, game-changing innovation and performance.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
Okay, so a few things here. We're watching this trial, and we're going to talk about this coming up after headlines. Both parents are facing four counts in this Oakland County, Michigan school shooting. The prosecutor just announced this, so we're going to discuss this and break this down for you coming up here after this segment. The drunkest country in the world, drum roll. I'm actually shocked that it is in Ireland. It's actually Australia. But I will say, how long have they been in the lockdown? That was not factored into this piece. There was a study that was done by Global Drug Survey, and they asked 32,000 people from 22 different countries to monitor their alcohol consumption just over the last year. So guess what? Australia, they got drunk an average of 27 times over the course of the year, double the global average, which is only 15. They drank 2 nights a week, and they became, on average, heavily intoxicated about once every 2 weeks. Women drinking more than men, shattering the stereotype that Aussie males were the hardest drinkers. But again, this is people were saying that they largely managed to avoid COVID lockdowns. Are you people ridiculous? How stupid and illiterate are you people? No, they have been locked down forever. No joke. No wonder they're drinking. Alcoholism, drug overdoses, everything has increased. That's just crazy. Good heavens. So a couple of other things. This is Daily Caller piece. Hunter Biden's therapist said that Joe Biden triumphed over dementia in 2019, according to a new book. Hunter Biden and his therapist joked about the president having dementia in a text exchange from 2019, according to Miranda Devine of the New York Post. In the book Laptop from Hell, Hunter Biden, Big Tech, and Dirty Secrets the President Tried to Hide, Hunter and his therapist, Keith Abelow, apparently exchanged text messages about Biden in January 2019, a few months before the president launched his election campaign. And so that's kind of interesting. It could be they were joking, because some people say that, you know, just sort of like haphazardly about their parents, but it's a little weird, right? And I have to say, it is an amazing, amazing privilege to have this guest coming up on. It's just surreal to me. This is one of the most, like, every now and then you go through this point in your life when you're like, is this real? Is this real life? I'm a meme right now. It feels like I'm a living meme. One of the icons, I think, of this industry, who really, in part, helped to create this industry. I mean, one of the reasons that you all are listening to me right now and that I even have this job and I even get a paycheck for this job is because of this man who is joining me now via Skype. And I am so privileged to have him on my show, Mr. James Golden, who people might popularly know as the one and only Bo Snerdly, the official radio observer for the Rush Limbaugh program. God rest his soul. And Mr. Golden joins us now. And it is such a pleasure to have you on with me today. And congratulations on the book, because I'm so excited for you on this. But just welcome. This is surreal. This is a very surreal moment for me.
I'm looking for Mr. Golden here, Dana, James, or Bo. How are you?
I'm doing so well. I'm great now that you're here. I'm fantastic. But I you have this.
You know, Dana, as you know, I.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I've told you how much I admire you, how much this audience that you have is so lucky to have your voice. You are a symbol of courage in our industry. Like Rush Limbaugh, Dana, you stand up for what you believe. You have taken so many unfair, scurrilous, mean-spirited hits, and yet you stay with such good humor, such optimism. I love you. I think you are remarkable, and the talk radio industry could not have a better champion for us at this time than you, Dana.
Oh, I don't think that anybody could ever leave me speechless, but you just did. My goodness. I thank you for that. And I am such a huge fan of yours. And I remember when I would hear a Mr. Snerdly referred to on air, and I always thought, I want to meet him. And there was a long time that we thought he was just making somebody up. Nobody actually thought that you were an actual person in there with him. And then I read this article. I think it was, I don't remember if it was New York Times or where I read it. It was a profile piece on Rush Limbaugh. And you were not only real, you were there. You're an icon in this industry. And you have this book out, Rush on the Radio, a tribute from his sidekick for 30 years. I'm curious as to what you think today about commentary and the state of politics, because I think it's incredibly fair to say that you actually helped create this industry and with Rush Limbaugh helped shape what punditry and commentary and analysis is today. What do you think about the state of things?
I couldn't be more optimistic, and that may come as a surprise to people. I'm very optimistic about the state of things. Yeah, I know what Joe Biden is doing to the country. We all can see it. But Dana, America is a young country. I mean, we are still so young on the world stage, and we've been going through this back and forth with socialists and with liberals ever since this country was founded. It is not a new battle. We have new ways of expression in the battle, but we also have an America that still stands despite all the dings, all the nicks. We have an America that still stands as the beacon of light in this world. We have more people that want to come here I mean, for instance, in Virginia, you look at a Winsome Sears victory, and I paid attention on election night. She talked about it in his pocket. And now she found her space in the United States military. And today, as a first generation immigrant to this country, she is Lieutenant Governor of the state of Virginia. American dream is still alive if people want to go out and achieve it.
I love that. If people want to go out and achieve it, that dream is still there. They can still go out and achieve it. We're talking to none other than Bo Snerdly, a.k.a. James Golden. I don't have to say James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, or Bo Snerdly, a.k.a. James Golden, because you're both now, and you're still, you're a radio programming icon, and you started in music. You're doing an afternoon drive time program. I know you got your new book out, Rush on the Radio, tribute from his sidekick for 30 years. And folks, you can follow him, and I suggest you do, because he gets some great stuff, at Bo Snerdly. The state of things, everyone always says that it's, I think politics has always kind of been nasty. And people, I think, need to be reminded from time to time that they need to continue to be happy warriors. And that is the one thing that I think that I learned from you. I saw that message reinforced with you. I saw it with Rush. And I think that's one of the things that you all helped bring to politics, because you can have fun while explaining why people are wrong to think the way they do. And you can have a good time doing it. And it's so important to be a happy warrior. And you can't let this stuff get you down. How did you get that perspective? How did you get to have that perspective in this industry?
Well, look, first of all, you love to love what you do. Because if you love what you do, then you transmit that to people. If that's what's inside of you, then that's what's going to come out, and that's what you're going to project. I love radio. I've loved radio since I was 14 years old. Rush started at age 6 in his house. First radio show on a Remco a toy broadcast to an audience of one, his mother, right? And so at age 6, started honing his skills, writing scripts. When you love something, you have fun doing it. And to me, now, that's not to say that it's all, you know, I'm not looking at things through a rose-colored glass. I mean, I've had days where you have, you know, bad people do bad things and all of that. That's part of life. But if you stay with your passion and what you love, it's easy to be happy about it and feel blessed and know that no matter what happens, if you're doing your best and you're striving for excellence and you're really giving it all you've got, it's easy to be happy. It is not easy to be happy looking at some things in the country. We don't want to see people suffering the way they're suffering. It's not just economic suffering with inflation. There's some real challenges we have. There are people out here that are victims of horrible crime because of policies that are reckless and dangerous. We have people that are suffering from economic policies that have shut down their business in these past 2 years, things they've worked all their lives for. And so, yes, we see the inequities in life. We see the hardships in life. We see what people are going through in life. But it doesn't mean that you yourself have to give in and be negative. We're about trying to change people's lives and help people change their own lives for the better. And so I think it's just incumbent upon us to try to be filled with gratitude. We live in the greatest nation that the humanity has ever witnessed. We have so much to be grateful for. And so in spite of everything that goes wrong, in spite of all of the troubled times, in spite of all of it, we can still try to maintain a spirit of optimism as we move through our lives.
I love that. Talking with Bo Snerdly, a.k.a. James Golden. He's got an afternoon drive time radio program on WABC in New York. And his book released just at the end of last month, Rush on the Radio, a tribute from his sidekick for over 30 years. You can get it where books are sold, also at Barnes & Noble everywhere. People need to buy from Barnes & Noble because that actually makes it hit more on New York Times bestseller list as opposed if you order it, like if you go to Walmart, which is always crazy to me. JamesGolden.com is the website as well. What do you prefer people call you, Bo or James? I'm curious.
Doesn't matter. 30 years is Bo. I've kind of gotten used to it. And All My Life is James. Well, I'm really used to that one. So
yeah. Tell me how the Snerdly, I know you talk about all of this and you get into, your relationship with Rush and radio, but out of all the names, Snerdly is just, there is no name that you can compare that to. How'd you get that? How did you get, we have a little bit of a delay here.
Well, first, let me start with this bow thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So here's what happened. So there were always Snerdlys with the Rush Show, but no one remembers the other ones because I was there for so long. There was Marva Snerdly and Mervyn Snerdly, right? Marva was a liberal. And so when Rush first came to New York and was syndicated, she didn't want her liberal New York buddies to know that she worked on a conservative show. So he called her Marva Snerdly. She didn't last long. Then came Mervyn Snerdly. Now, Mervyn wasn't a liberal, but Mervyn didn't last long either. And once I rotated onto the show, that was the arrangement with WABC, our flagship station, that WABC would provide the call screener and the engineer. So I was rotated on the show. I was the senior producer at ABC. Before that, I was the music director at ABC. So I walked out of one studio, produced their last music show, walked into another studio and produced their first talk show. I was rotated on the show, and of course, Rush and I clicked. Now, even before the show, I was, giving stories to Rush that I thought he might be interested in, as were many of us there. And Rush was friendly. We all loved Rush from the very beginning. Let me tell you, he was just so wonderful a human being. You could not help but love this man if you knew him. And that's why I think it hurts the heart a little bit when people who don't know him try to tell people who he is. They have no clue who he is, right? But also, from the very first time that Rush started doing the show, anybody that knew radio knew this was something different. He had a unique skill set. He had a unique way of expression, of a very, very sharp sense of satire and humor that no one else could emulate. He was just the consummate professional when he walked in there. And for 27, the show grew for 33 years. I think we ended up with 27 million listeners when he died. But that's almost unheard of, a 30-year growth track on a radio program.
That's you don't hear, stuff like that. You don't hear stuff like that. I have to tell you, I would listen when I was younger. And I was raised, I was raised all by very, very far left Democrats. And I would listen every now and then. I'd catch it on the radio. And I think this man is so wrong. Can't exactly say why, but he's wrong. And I know it. And then as I got older, I'm like, okay, he's making sense now. He's starting to make some sense to me. I get it. And then I'd be like, he really knows what he's talking about. Why haven't I listened to him longer than this? Because he really knows his stuff. It's just, you all raised a lot of people. The Rush Limbaugh program, I think, actually raised people into grown adults and educated them, which, and as you were saying, over 30 years of doing this, there's nothing, I don't know, there's nothing in broadcast that you can compare that to. Not even Johnny Carson.
Yeah, it was remarkable. And in the beginning, Rush didn't like to take vacations either. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was so, we were there. And The thing about that, though, is Rush loved he loved what he did from beginning to end. I imagine myself getting a death sentence. And look, I walked into a radio station when I was 14 years old, fell in love with it, knew I wanted to be in radio, right? So I am passionate about this business. I love radio as well. I get a death sentence, bye-bye. It's been a great career, and I'm great. I'm going to go see some things in the world I haven't seen yet. Rush's bucket list was his audience. Oh. Every day. Oh. Every day that this man was not in treatment or dealing with the after effects of that treatment, he was at work. And he came into work just as prepared as he always was. Had spent hours preparing to be there. His show was flawless. The energy level was flawless. You couldn't tell anything was wrong. At the end of the show, the three of us that were in the room across from him, our stenographer, Dawn Baczynski, our Florida engineer, Brian Johnson, and myself, we could see what those shows had taken out of him, because there were days where he could barely get out of his seat. There were days that he had to have someone come in and lift his attaché case because he didn't even have the energy to do that. It drained him to do those shows. But every single day that he could be there, up until the last show, he was there, and his performance was flawless.
Oh, talking with our wonderful friend, Bo Snerdly, James Golden, Rush on the Radio, a tribute to his sidekick for 30 years. And I think that that is, I have to say, that's a professional mark that I think so many people in broadcasting try to attain. I mean, that is, everyone always says hashtag goals, but man, that it really is. It's goals. It's goals for not just how to do a show, but what you said is so important, how his audience was his bucket list. That's amazing. And that's really, ultimately, I've never heard a better description. I've never heard a better goal ever described as to how a broadcaster should be with their audience. And you're still, you know, I mean, it's still educating people, and you're carrying that legacy on, my friend. You are. Yeah. And I have to tell you, thank you for the encouragement, because you were one of the very first people when I first got started into radio. You said something nice to me online one day. It was nice. Appreciate that. And I mean, you're making me emotional. You're crying and I'm crying. This is not how radio's supposed to go. Not how it's supposed to be. But I have to say, you have encouraged so many people out there. So thank you for that. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome. And you, like I said, I've been following you from the beginning. You know, your career. Wow. Wow. And we're all proud of you. We are so proud of you. And, you know, one of the things that makes us most proud is that, Dana, we know who the people are that have always ceaselessly attacked you. Yeah. And we've been through it. You're going through it. The next generation of broadcasters will go through it because they're relentless.
Yep.
But you have never, ever lowered yourself to become mean and nasty like these people have.
I get tempted. And I tried. I there's some days when I feel like I fall short, but I try every day.
No, that's the best we all can do.
Right.
And so it's pretty remarkable. And you're going to have a very long career ahead, God willing. Hopefully everything goes right. You'll be at a 30 or 35, 40 year mark in this business one day too. And you'll be encouraging the next generation of conservative talk radio hosts.
As it should be, passing that torch, passing that baton on, because somebody's, you know, when we want to retire, you know, somebody's got to do this. Somebody's got to get out there and talk to people. We want to take a break at some point and be able to do that. Bo Snerdly, James Golden, the book is Rush on the Radio, a tribute from his sidekick for 30 years. And I have to say, of all the years that I have been, well, I act like I've been on a little over 10 years, and I'm sitting here acting like it's been 1,000 years I've been on air. But I have never, ever teared up on air until you join me on air. It's the first time ever in any professional capacity. And my producer's going, yes, I've never seen this. This is so weird right now. So you, and it was, and I'm glad it was in a conversation with you. Bo Snerdly, James Golden, just truly an American icon. Thank you so much for bringing that program with Rush Limbaugh every day on air, and also for continuing to do it and for educating the next generation. God bless you, my friend. Would love to have you back.
Anytime, Dana. God bless you, and thank you so much. It is an honor to be with you.
Thank you. An honor to be with you, my friend. Which, and as you were saying, you know, over 30 years of doing this, there's nothing, I don't know, there's nothing in broadcast that you can compare that to. Not even Johnny Carson.
Yeah, it was remarkable. And in the beginning, you know, Rush didn't like to take vacations either.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was so... So, I mean, we were there. And the thing about that, though, is Rush loved what he loved what he did from beginning to end. I imagine myself getting a death sentence. And look, I walked into a radio station when I was 14 years old, fell in love with it, knew I wanted to be in radio, right? So I am passionate about this business. I love radio as well. I get a death sentence, bye-bye, it's been a great career, and I'm great. I'm going to go see some things in the world I haven't seen yet. Rush's bucket list was his audience every day. Oh. Every day that this man was not in treatment or dealing with the after effects of that treatment, he was at work. And he came into work just as prepared as he always was, I spent hours preparing to be there. His show was flawless. The energy level was flawless. You couldn't tell anything was wrong. At the end of the show, the three of us that were in the room across from him, our stenographer, Dawn Baczynski, our Florida engineer, Brian Johnson, and myself, we could see what those shows had taken out of him, because there were days where he could barely get out of his seat. There were days that he had to have someone come in and lift his attaché case because he didn't even have the energy to do that. It drained him to do those shows. But every single day that he could be there, up until the last show, he was there, and his performance was flawless.
Talking with our wonderful friend, Bo Snerdly, James Golden, Rush on the Radio, a tribute to his sidekick for 30 years. And I think that is, I have to say, that's a professional mark that I think so many people in broadcasting try to attain. I mean, that is, everyone always says hashtag goals, but man, that it really is. It's goals. It's goals for not just how to do a show, but what you said is so important, how his audience was his bucket list. That's amazing. And that's really, ultimately, I've never heard a better description. I've never heard a better goal ever described as to how a broadcaster should be with their audience. And you're still, it's still educating people, and you're carrying that legacy on, my friend. You are. Yeah. And I have to tell you, thank you for the encouragement, because you were one of the very first people when I first got started into radio. You said something nice to me online one day. It was nice. Appreciate that. And I mean, you're making me emotional. You're crying and I'm crying. This is not how radio's supposed to go. Not how it's supposed to be. But I have to say, you have encouraged so many people out there. So thank you for that. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome. And you, like I said, I've been following you from the beginning. You know, your career. Wow. Wow. And we're all proud of you. We are so proud of you. And, you know, one of the things that makes us most proud is that, Dana, we know who the people are that have always ceaselessly attacked you. Yeah. And we've been through it. You're going through it. The next generation of broadcasters will go through it because they're relentless.
Yep.
But you have never, ever lowered yourself to become mean and nasty like these people have.
I get tempted. And I tried. I there's some days when I feel like I fall short, but I try every day.
No, that's the best we all can do.
Right.
And so it's pretty remarkable. And you're going to have a very long career ahead, God willing. Hopefully everything goes right. You'll be at a 30 or 35, 40 year mark in this business one day too. And you'll be encouraging the next generation of conservative talk radio hosts.
As it should be, passing that torch, passing that baton on, because somebody's, you know, when we want to retire, you know, somebody's got to do this. Somebody's got to get out there and talk to people. We want to take a break at some point and be able to do that. Bo Snerdly, James Golden, the book is Rush on the Radio, a tribute from his sidekick for 30 years. And I have to say, of all the years that I have been, well, I act like I've been on a little over 10 years, and I'm sitting here acting like it's been 1,000 years I've been on air. But I have never, ever teared up on air until you join me on air. It's the first time ever in any professional capacity. And my producer's going, yes, I've never seen this. This is so weird right now. So you, I'm glad it was in a conversation with you. Bo Snerdly, James Golden, just truly an American icon. Thank you so much for bringing that program with Rush Limbaugh every day on air, and also for continuing to do it and for educating the next generation. God bless you, my friend. We'd love to have you back.
Anytime, Dana. God bless you, and thank you so much. It is an honor to be with you.
Thank you. An honor to be with you, my friend.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.